All right, so I'll start with stars because it's super relevant to your journey. People don't realize that everything is subject to evolution, and they think that they're exempt, like everything else is evolving, but people have kind of achieved and arrived. And it's not true, except that evolution in humans, the way that we are now, doesn't really happen so much on the physical level, but it happens on the spiritual level, on the level of the mind. And so if you watch carefully, you will notice that there are two groups that you can see. One is really large and the other one is smaller. And I tend to compare them to MacBooks and Windows computers, because the way to understand this, like, say they're both computers, both laptops, they seem kind of similar, but yet they can't really communicate properly. Because if my computer says, "Oh, check out this DMG file," like it's a really cool software, and then the Windows computer can't open it, it's like, "What is that?" And exe file, likewise. So although they seem like the same type of thing, they're actually not, and their operation systems work in a different way. And this is what happens with stars and humans. So humans, for the lack of a better word, those are beings that are younger in terms of their spiritual evolution. And because of that, their attention is mostly focused on the physical reality, on the physical world. And they really are not ready yet to do anything related to proper personal development. They're really scared if you try to talk to them about it. And they try to block any kind of not just dialogues, but even hints that there is something beyond the physical reality because it scares them. And you can easily recognize them because they have a very predictable set of behaviors, likes and dislikes, and expectations and priorities. So these are people who actually want to have what I call a human life. So, you grow up, get married, get a mortgage, get kids, get promoted in your job, and die. Basically, kind of a scenario. They also believe strongly that you should age at a certain speed or at a certain rate. And if you try to question that, they get very angry. Like, you can try it and see what happens. If you say to them, "Oh, actually, you don't have to age at this speed," oh, they're going to get so angry. They are usually motivated by fear, and they seek pleasure very strongly, try to avoid fear and pain very strongly as well. And because that threshold is so low for them, it's very difficult for them to make like big decisions or drop their job and go travel the world or say not have kids or things like that. They're kind of very alien to them. And it's a pretty large group. And because it's pretty large, it created the current society that we live in largely. And the way things work in this world are made largely for humans by humans. And so the other category, the one that we belong to, which I call stars, doesn't fit in that scenario because it was never meant to be right for us in the first place. It was created by a very different kind of operation system. Because here's what happens. We are not just physical beings, obviously. Nothing ever is. But for people, it's especially prominent. So part of us, of course, belongs to physical reality. There is another part of us that is the immortal, eternal spark of the universal force, the universal fire that exists eternally and just gets incarnated into different bodies. So the true purpose of people here, this is what most people don't realize, because every time you look at purpose, they try to tell you something about the career choice. And has nothing to do with that. So the actual purpose of us here on Earth is to be able to conduct and send out that divine energy into the physical world. It was mentioned in ancient texts, but it's also pretty obvious if you observe it for a bit, because we are the only kind of beings capable of doing it, because our structure permeates all levels of the world. So we exist on the physical plane, we exist on the spiritual plane, on the mental plane, and on the plane of the divine, so the higher self. And so we have the ability to harness that divine power, send it through us into the physical reality, and transmute and elevate that physical reality by doing so. Our evolution actually lies along the lines of being able to do that better and better. Like everything in nature is striving to become the best version of themselves. And so do we subconsciously because of the blueprint that we have embedded in us by that higher force. And so obviously the younger someone is in their spiritual evolution, then the physical level takes priority and they have the Maslow's pyramid, which they absolutely worship. Again, talk to a human about them if they're even educated enough to sustain this kind of a conversation. They absolutely worship and glorify the Maslow's pyramid. And self-actualization is just way out there. And some people don't even really get to it because they're too busy with Netflix and chill, which is kind of all right for their level. So the mistake many of our tribe make is that they try to wake them up by force. And it usually creates really bad effects for those people. And this is why. So as we evolve, what really evolves is our mind. So our mind is an energy structure that actually does the task of harnessing that universal divine energy and sending it through us and into the world. And for the mind to be able to do that, it has to have certain structures in place and it has to have a certain capacity or capacitance for holding that energy. And so with people or with humans, that capacitance is very small. Obviously, it always exists in everyone, but it's just tiny. So you can compare them to children in that sense. But then the older someone becomes spiritually, aka they go through different lifetimes and slowly they work on themselves. So it doesn't happen in one lifetime. Obviously, some progress happens in one lifetime, but really for some notable change, it takes many lifetimes. And so the soul goes through a lifetime after a lifetime and they progressively, let's say, work on themselves, do self-development, or just strive to be the best they can be in any means possible. And so over time, what happens is that their soul structure and their mind structure actually start evolving to be able to hold more of that universal energy. And the more of it they can hold and transmit, the more the aura, you know, the energy around that person changes. So if you look at icons with holy men and you will see that golden glow around, it's an actual thing. I have not met someone who can do it physically. I met many people who can do it on the astral. And I'll teach you to do that as well because it's a very important skill to have. So once you develop that energy vision, you will see that people have auras that consist of blobs of different colors, different colors. Yeah. And the older someone gets, the more their aura start to be like a uniform golden glow. Fairly thin at first, but then it gets brighter and brighter. So what they paint in icons is actually that, is the amount of light radiated from that person. And because of that amount of light, I call them stars because, you know, as above, so below. So as in the universe, you have stars as the luminaries, and then you have planets orbiting around the stars. In our world, it's very similar when you have stars or our tribe giving light, gifts, and power into the world, and then humans gathering around to benefit from that and learn from that and be elevated. So once someone goes through the stages of spiritual evolution and they become less and less of a human mindset, their mindset actually changes automatically as their mind expands and restructures itself. And again, it's largely a natural process. Same as if you work out, you see your muscles grow. So obviously you do something, but the process happens naturally. So the goal of any true spiritual training really is to increase your capacitance. So if at the end of the training, you can hold more that energy of the light, meaning that you're more powerful and you can bend reality a lot stronger, it means that it was a good training. Otherwise, it was a waste of time. And many spiritual trainings are actually more for amusement. They don't do anything for the students apart from having their ego stroked because it's like, oh yeah, you've paid so much, you've done this spiritual training. And so, of course, you've now achieved. But really, are you any stronger for it? Can you do something real in energy terms? Usually not. So just to sum up this part. So as someone goes from the human realm of perception into the star-like level of perception, their mind restructures itself. And you can imagine it in a way of a pipe. So let's say humans are like straws, like drinking straws. So of course they have some of the God energy or light energy flowing through them, because that's how we even exist. But then what you want to do, you want to make that straw a small pipe, and then a larger pipe, and then a larger pipe. So essentially you want to be able to hold as much of that energy as you technically can, because A, this is you living your purpose, and B, this is how we are actually meant to operate in this world. This is why many of us feel unfulfilled, depressed, feel like something is missing, feel like life is empty, because if we don't live according to that soul blueprint, to that universal urge in us to live fully as ourselves, this is what happens, because it's like being disabled in some weird way. So we all want to be very powerful beings and serve the world, especially with stars. So with us, that Maslow's pyramid is actually very different. Stars actually are quite different from humans. And the more you will delve into it and the more you will observe, the more you will see that is true. So as they evolve, firstly, they become minor stars. So minor stars are similar to humans, but they're slightly different. So they are more curious about the world, because humans don't tend to want to know anything that goes beyond their paradigm. They're actually not interested. You can't even talk to them. Yeah. But minor stars are kind of a little bit curious to the degree that serves them to fulfill their day-to-day activities. So they may be interested in meditation because it's said to relieve stress, for example. And they're less ego-oriented, so they're more like, okay, I need to help other people. I'm not just here for myself, because humans put themselves first. And the more someone goes up that pyramid, the more they put their purpose first and serving first. And this is why you will see the Maslow's pyramid is actually reversed in our case. Now, after some time of being a minor star, and this jump can happen in one lifetime. So if someone is trying really hard, they can go from a minor star to a senior star within one lifetime. And this is where, you will see loads of people in our tribe. They're senior stars and they're digital nomads, because they absolutely can stand 9 to 5. Many of them have tried but failed, and they feel that somehow they don't fit into the human society. They need to find something else. And there is a lot of confusion around this, because here the yearning for purpose, inner power and meaning really intensifies compared to the other two groups. But because right now in our world, as it stands, there are actually very few reliable sources for, especially for Westerners, to take them where they need to be. There is a lot of really bad stuff happening, because this category is very spiritually hungry and they really want to learn, but they end up, I just call it eating from a spiritual dustbin, because they're so hungry, they would latch onto anything they see, and they don't have any system in place to say, okay, this is good for me, this is bad for me. So they don't understand. And many of them get really damaged. But you will find them setting up their businesses. So business owners, freelancers, digital nomads, people who want to explore the world, people who want to look beyond the veil. You know, people who actually are motivated by curiosity and service. They're not motivated by pain and pleasure as much as humans or minor stars. For them, it's more, how can I serve the world more? What more can I be? And they can put up with a huge level of discomfort. They can go against the human paradigm, say they don't get married by a certain age. They don't do what is expected of them. And we are technically very annoying from the human standpoint, because they don't understand us. They're kind of bothered, afraid of us, because because they don't understand, they don't know what to expect, we don't fit in. And so for children's stars, it can be a very painful experience because humans tend to put us down, not because they're evil or anything, but simply because they seem to be aggravated by us and they don't understand us, and it just really, really annoys them. So if someone growing up hears that, oh, you know, why do you always have to be an odd one out? Why are you so sensitive? Like, you are too sensitive. You have weird ideas. You are a weirdo. So every time when this is a consistent message, this usually is a star child that is being targeted by those. And minor stars are larger in number. Obviously, they're not as numerous as humans, but they're still larger in number than senior stars. So there are fewer senior stars around than minor stars. Minor stars are sometimes hard to tell because they're close enough to humans sometimes to almost blend in and live human life. Whereas senior stars reject it. This is why they have to set up their businesses, not because they even like think, oh, you know, I was born to be a business owner. They're more like, I cannot stand living in this society the way that humans design it. I have to do something different. So this is what pushes them out. Their level of personal power is notable. This is where they go into manifestation things and reality bending things and lucid dreaming and, you know, you name it. And they have a significant level of personal power compared to the other two groups. However, there is another category, which are great stars. These are the older souls. And some of them can be very scary or very awesome, depends on which part they choose and which path they decide to walk. And so these are real reality benders. They can change the course of civilizations if they choose to. You know, think of Elon Musk, for example, people like that. They really, really stand out. And their level of power can be sometimes so great that it even scares them, because they can think of something and it just happens. You know, bad things or good things and miracles just happening all around them. There are not many of them around, luckily, because our world would be probably torn apart if there are lots.
Is it like Maslow's hierarchy where you're human, you transcend, or is it something more you're innately born with?
Great stars are born. You don't become a great star within one lifetime. It's just something that you work for many, many lifetimes. What is kind of unfortunate or fortunate, depends on how you look at it, is that all those three categories, I mean stars, the ones going beyond the human mind, they can be either fully awakened stars, aware of their purpose and their power, or they can be sleeping stars. So someone who is still a star, but they have no idea. They think that they're humans. They think that they are just like everyone else, but kind of weird for some reason. And those sleeping stars, or sleepings for short, quite often they don't know how to use their power. They sometimes misuse it. They sell themselves short because, again, they don't have a proper understanding of how to really exist as you. Because for humans, it's super easy. Humans have blueprints. You know, you do this, you do that, and this is how you become. For example, you have got a blueprint, how you become a lawyer, how you become an accountant, how you become, you know, a singer, anything. You just go and do it. Whereas for us, this is what I do with my training. I show you paths to become the you that you're supposed to be in this world, the way that actually your soul wants to be. And so if someone remains in that sleeping kind of state, they will not be able to fully access their power, simply because A, they don't even have a concept of what they're looking for, and they don't know how to access it. And so for us, the most important thing really is self-actualization, unlike humans. And you can easily tell that someone is a star, because for humans, they would run away from something that is scary or, you know, bothering them. And if you see someone running towards the danger, these are stars wanting to find out what it is about. Because for us, fear, like we do experience fear, of course, but it doesn't have the same sway on us because our mind functions in a different way. So here's an interesting thing. The more your mind restructures and the more it evolves to hold more power, because that power comes from the true self, which is immortal, eternal, and nothing in the world can affect it in any way, you become resistant to most things that people are afraid of, say anxiety or fear, because it just becomes less and less relevant. And for us, the older you become, the higher up that pyramid you are, you get more and more urgent sense of finding out who you are, why are you here, and what can you do to serve the world greatly. So the yearning of purpose becomes very intense the older you are, because with humans, it's just not as urgent. And because of that, when we try to talk to humans or, you know, even younger stars, what happens is that they struggle to understand certain things. This is because to understand something, it's not enough to know the language. You have to experience things. So you have to share the same level of perception. And by definition, they don't share the level of perception of older types because they haven't yet experienced that. So this is why things happen this way. And this is why many of us struggle to connect to anyone apart from our tribe. Now, it's very simple, very easy to tell if someone is from our tribe or not, because within our tribe, we share lots of similarities. Even if you say you can't see the energy glow around, look at the eyes and you will notice something interesting. So that will be your little homework the next time. Look at the eyes of people around you. And you will notice that some people have the kind of gaze that looks inward almost. Like it's blank. You know, almost like they are NPCs.
Yeah. That's a funny analogy.
Because this is how sometimes they feel like. And then once in a while, you meet someone whose eyes are really looking at you. Like they're kind of sparkly, shiny. There is a shiny quality to it. That's a star. You can walk up to them and say, hey, I see you're into meditation and crypto. And they will be like, oh my God, how did you know? Do read my mind. Do you have superpowers? But also you can talk to them as though they're your old friends. Like you've always known them. And you connect with them instantly. So if you meet someone and like you can talk to them for 4 hours straight, never run out of steam, and you actually want to talk more, they're your tribe. It's very important to understand, because especially with the opposite sex, when that happens, humans have this unfortunate, well, minus stars, I should say, have this unfortunate theory of having multiple soulmates, and it can become very, very damaging if someone buys that, because when two stars meet, unlike humans who just meet and they talk, right? Or they can have a beer and that's about it. Something very interesting happens when two stars interact. As you probably know, energy has magnetic properties. And so because both of them are highly charged, there develops a feeling between them that I call the magnetic bond. And the magnetic bond is a very interesting thing. It feels like love, but it's not a physical love. It's not a feeling. It's more of an energy of it. And this is basically the light within. One person recognizes the light within the other person and they want to merge together, kind of. And sometimes that feeling can be very, very strong, especially between two senior stars or two great stars. And when someone doesn't understand what it is and they try to act on it from the human perspective, because you see, in the human paradigm, if you're strongly attracted to someone and you want to be in their presence, automatically you assume that, oh, you know, you must be in love. And then your brain starts producing all the chemicals associated with it. But the magnetic bond is not a human feeling. So when someone tries to convert it into a human feeling, it always goes wrong, because at the end of the day, it's not a physical attraction. So those people are usually very incompatible in personal terms, and it usually goes wrong. And then they just, even if they decide that, okay, we weren't right for each other, it was a mistake, the magnetic bond doesn't disappear. So it kind of keeps them stuck. So they can't get away. So it's very important to understand how it works. And the best way of dealing with it is to A, never assume that it's a physical thing, and B, never try to fight it. Because fighting it makes it actually a lot worse. or it can develop between two people of the same gender, and then people assume that they're gay or something, but it can be super strong. So the best way of dealing with it is to acknowledge it, knowing what it is, and just enjoy it, because it has very strong healing properties. So if both parties is like, okay, it's like, say, warming up by a fireplace. It's like, oh yeah, it's really nice. But you don't think, oh, you know, I like the fireplace, so I might be sexually attracted to it. Well, most people don't think along those lines. So if you think, okay, that's really nice, I'm enjoying it, it warms me up, but it's not a physical thing. It creates an energy that I refer as Maitri. Maitri is a Sanskrit word for love. The reason why I call it a separate name is to be able for the students to separate it in their minds, because it is not a physical feeling. So Maitri to physical love and attraction is kind of the same relationship as crypto and fiat. So you can convert them, but they're not the same thing. They're still like, this is currency, this is currency. But you know, you can sell your crypto into fiat and then it can become, but originally it's just energy. And you can also sell it into what, you know, whatever coin you like. It's the same kind of principle. So understanding that right from the start will make your life a lot easier, a lot more effective, a lot more enjoyable. And you can warn other people from making really grave mistakes. Because sometimes I've seen, you know, people being so pulled together that they kind of don't want to be together, but they're pulled together, they're fighting it, and then they get married, they end up hating each other, but they can't escape because the magnetic bond won't let them go.
Got it. That makes sense.
You might have seen that.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you have this very, very strong pull and you don't know what it is, and you assume that, okay, so if you want to be with someone all the time, it must be a physical attraction, and then you start, you know, brainwashing yourself into that, then it can be a really bad thing, because the magnetic bond never works for relationships. It's super cool. You can do really cool things with it. I'll show you later on what you can use it for, but it cannot be a basis for a relationship.
Got it.
All right.